Our guests tonight are Lee Harvey Oswald, who is secretary of the New Orleans chapter of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. It's a New York headquartered organization which is generally recognized as the principal voice of the Castro government in this country. Our second guest is Ed Butler, who is executive director of the Information Council of the Americas, which is headquartered in New Orleans and specializes in distributing anti-communist educational materials throughout Latin America. And our third guest is Carlos Bringier, a Cuban refugee and New Orleans delegate of the Revolutionary Student Directorate. It's one of the more active of the anti-Castro refugee organizations. Bill, at this time, if you'll briefly background the situation as you know it.
Thank you, Bill. First, for those who don't know too much about the background of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, this is an organization that specializes primarily in distributing literature and is based in New York. For the several years in which it's been in existence, it has operated principally out of the East and out of the West Coast and a few college campuses. Recently, however, attempts have been made to organize a chapter here in New Orleans. The only member of the group to have revealed himself publicly so far is 23-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald, who is the secretary of the local chapter of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. He first came to public notice several days ago when he was arrested and convicted for disturbing the peace. The ruckus in which he was involved started when several local Cuban refugees, including Carlos Bringier, who is with us tonight, discovered him distributing pro-Castro literature on a downtown street. And Mr. Oswald and Bringier are here with us tonight to give us opposing views on the Fair Play for Cuba Committee and its objectives. I believe that I was probably the first New Orleans reporter to interview Mr. Oswald on his activities here since he first came into public view. Last Saturday, in addition to having him on my show, we had a very long and rambling question and answer session over various points of dogma and line of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. And now I'll give you a very brief digest of some of the principal propaganda lines. I use the word propaganda is rather, I should say, informational lines of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. Number one, the principal thing that they insist is that Castro's government today is completely free and independent and is in no way controlled by the Soviet Union. Another cardinal point of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee's propaganda is that Premier Castro was forced to seek aid from the Russians only because the United States government refused to offer him financial aid. In following another line, I asked Mr. Oswald if he had ever or was a member of the American Communist Party, and he said that the only organization to which he belonged was the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. Mr. Oswald also gave me this rundown on his personal background. He said that he was a native of New Orleans, had attended Beauregard Junior High School and Warren Eastern High School, had entered the U.S. Marine Corps in 1956, and was honorably discharged in 1959. He said during our previous interview that he had lived in Fort Worth, Texas, before coming here to establish a Fair Play for Cuba chapter several weeks ago. However, there were a few items, apparently, that I suspect that Mr. Oswald left out of this original interview, which was principally where he lived after between 1959 and 1962. Mr. Butler brought some newspaper clippings to my attention, and I also found some through an independent investigation, Washington newspaper clippings, to the effect that Mr. Oswald had attempted to renounce his American citizenship in 1959 and become a Soviet citizen. There was another clipping dated 1952 saying that Mr. Oswald had returned from the Soviet Union with his wife and child after having lived there for 3 years. Mr. Oswald, are these correct?
That is correct, yes.
You did live in Russia for 3 years?
That is correct, and I think the fact that I did live for a time in the Soviet Union gives me excellent qualifications to repudiate charges that Cuba and the Fair Play for Cuba Committee is communist-controlled.
Mr. Bringier, perhaps you would like to dispute that point.
Well, I want to know exactly the name of the organization that you represent here in the city, because I have some confusion. Is Fair Play for Cuba Committee or Fair Play for Russia Committee?
Well, that is, of course, a very provocative and question. I don't think it requires an answer.
Well, I will tell you why. Because before the communists take over Cuba, Cuba was at the head of the Latin American countries, and I can show you that in Cuba in 1958, every 37 persons has an automobile, and in Russia was 200 persons for one automobile. In Cuba was 6 persons for one radio, and in Russia was 20 persons for one radio. In Cuba was one television set for 18 persons, and in Russia was 85 persons for one television set. And in Cuba was one telephone for every 38 persons, and in Russia was one telephone for every 580 persons. Cuba was selling the sugar in the American market, and was receiving from the United States more than $100 million a year over the price of the world market, and the United States was paying to Cuba that price in dollars. Right now, Cuba is selling the sugar to Russia. Russia is paying to Cuba 80% in junks, in machinery from Russia, and 20% in dollar. I think that Cuba right now is a colony of Russia, and the people of Cuba, who is leaving Cuba every day, who is escaping from Cuba every day, they disagree with you that you are representing the people of Cuba. Maybe you will represent the colony of Russia here in this moment, but not. You cannot take that responsibility.
Well, in order to give a clear and concise and short answer to each of those, questions, I would say that the facts and figures from a country like Pakistan or Burma would even reflect more light upon Cuba in relation to how many television sets and how many radios and all that. This, I do not think, is a subject to be discussed tonight. The Fair Play for Cuba Committee, as the name implies, is concerned primarily with Cuban-American relations.
How many people do you have in your committee here in New Orleans?
I cannot reveal that as Secretary of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee.
Is it a secret society?
No, Mr. Butler, it is not. However, it is a standard operating procedure for a political organization consisting of a political minority to safeguard the names and the number of its members.
Well, the Republicans are in the minority. I don't see them hiding their membership.
The Republicans are not the Republicans are a established political party representing a great many people. They represent no radical point of view. They do not have a very violent and sometimes emotional opposition as we do.
No, I see. Well, would you say then that the Fair Play for Cuba Committee is not a communist front organization?
The Senate subcommittees who have occupied themselves with investigating the Fair Play for Cuba Committee have found that there is nothing to connect the two committees. We have been investigated from several points of view, that is, points of view of taxes, allegiance, aversion, and so forth. The findings have been, as I say, absolutely zero.
Well, I have the Senate hearings before me, and I think what I have in front of me refutes precisely every statement that you just made. For instance, who is the honorary chairman of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee?
The honorary chairman of this committee, the name of that person, I certainly don't know.
Well, let me tell you, in case you don't know about your own organization. His name is Waldo Frank, and I'm quoting from the New Masses of September 1932. The title of his article is How I Came to Communism, a Symposium by Waldo Frank, Where I Stand and How I Got There. Now, let me ask you a second question. Who is the secretary of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, the national secretary?
Well, we have a national director who is Mr. V.T. Lee, who has recently returned from Cuba. And because of the fact that the United States government has imposed restrictions on travel to Cuba, he is now under indictment for his traveling to Cuba. This, however, it's very convenient for rightist organizations to drag out to show a fact which has not been established in law. I have said that the Fair Play for Cuba Committee has definitely been investigated. That is very true. The result of that investigation was zero. That is, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee is not now on the Attorney General's subversive list. Any other material you may have is superfluous.
Mr. Oswald, I may break in a moment. I believe it was mentioned that you at one time asked to renounce your American citizenship and become a citizen of the Soviet Union. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think that has a particular
import to this discussion. We are discussing Cuban-American relations.
Well, now, I think it has a bearing to this extent, Mr. Oswald. You say, apparently, that Cuba is not dominated by Russia, and yet you apparently, by your own past actions, have shown that you have an affinity for Russia and perhaps communism, although I don't know that you admit that you either are a communist or have been. Could you straighten out that point? Are you or have you been a communist?
Well, I had answered that prior to this program on another radio program.
Are you a Marxist?
Yes, I am a Marxist.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is primarily the difference between a country like Ghana, Guyana, Yugoslavia, China, or Russia. Very, very great differences. Differences which we appreciate by giving aid, let's say, to Yugoslavia in the sum of $100 million or so dollars per
That's
year.
Extraneous. What's the difference?
The difference is, as I said, a very great difference. Many parties, many countries are based on Marxism. Many countries, such as Great Britain, display very socialistic aspects and characteristics. I might point to the socialized medicine of Britain.
Most people.
Gentlemen, I'll have to interrupt. We'll be back in a moment to continue this rather lively discussion after this message.
This is Frank Edwards speaking to you for the Bank of New Orleans, the bank that helps your city grow. Build it
today! And now back to conversation carte blanche. Here again, Bill Slatter.
Tonight, Bill Stuckey and I are talking with three guests, Lee Harvey Oswald, who is local secretary of a group called Fair Play for Cuba, and with Ed Butler, the executive director of the Information Council of the Americas, and Carlos Bringer, a Cuban refugee and obviously anti-Castro. Oswald, as you might imagine, is on the hot seat tonight, and I believe, Bill Stuckey, you have a question for him.
Yes, Mr. Oswald, I believe you said in reply to a question from Mr. Butler that any questions about your background were extraneous to the discussion tonight. I disagree because of the fact that you refused to reveal any of the other members of your organization, so you are the face of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee in New Orleans. Therefore, anybody who might be interested in this organization ought to know more about you. For this reason, I'm curious to know just how you supported yourself during the 3 years that you lived in the Soviet Union. Did you have a government subsidy?
I will answer that. You will not rest until you get your answer. I worked in Russia. I was under the protection of I was not under the protection of the American government, but that is, I was at all times considered an American citizen. I did not lose my American citizenship.
Did you say you wanted to at one point, though, or what happened?
Well, it's a long, drawn-out situation in which permission to live in the Soviet Union granted to a foreign resident is very rarely given. This requires a certain amount of technicalities, technical papers, and so forth. At no time, as I say, did I renounce my citizenship or attempt to renounce my citizenship, and at no time was I out of contact or with the American embassy.
May I interrupt just one second? Either one of these two statements is wrong. The Washington Evening Star of October 31st, 1959, page 1, reported that Lee Harvey Oswald, a former Marine of 4936 Collingwood Street, Fort Worth, Texas, had turned in his passport at the American Embassy in Moscow on that same date and had said that he had applied for Soviet citizenship. Now, this seems to me that you've renounced your American citizenship if you've turned in your passport.
Well, the very obvious answer to that is that I'm back in the United States. A person who renounces his citizenship becomes legally disqualified for returning to the United States.
Right, and Soviet authorities, this is from the Washington Post and Times Herald of November 16, 1959, Soviet authorities had refused to grant it, although they had informed him that he could live in Russia as a resident alien. What did you do during the 2 weeks from October 31st to November 16, 1959?
As I have already stated, of course, this is a whole conversation, and we don't have too much time left, is getting away from the Cuban-American problem. However, I'm quite willing to discuss myself for the remainder of this program. As I have stated, it is very difficult for a resident, for a foreigner, to get permission to reside in the Soviet Union. During those 2 weeks and during the date that you mentioned, I was, of course, with the knowledge of the American embassy, getting this permission.
Were you having a building at 11 Kuznetskaya Street in Moscow?
Kuznetskaya?
Mm-hmm.
Kuznetskaya is the, that would be probably the foreign ministry, I assume. No, I was never in that place, although I know Moscow, having lived there.
Mr. Butler,
excuse me.
Let me interrupt, and I think Mr. Oswald is right. To this extent, we should get around to the organization which he is the head of here in New Orleans, Fair Play for Cuba.
Fair Play for Cuba Committee.
As a practical matter, Mr. Oswald, knowing, as you, I'm sure you do, the sentiment in America against Cuba, we, of course, severed diplomatic relations some time ago. I would say Castro is about as unpopular as anybody in the world in this country. As a practical matter, what do you hope to gain through your work? How do you hope to bring about what you call fair play for Cuba, knowing the sentiment?
The principles of the fair play for Cuba consist of restoration of diplomatic trade and tourist relations with Cuba. That is one of our main points. We are for that. I disagree that this situation regarding American-Cuban relations is very unpopular. We are in a minority, surely. We are, however, not particularly interested in what Cuban exiles or rightist members of rightist organizations have to say. We are primarily interested in the attitude of the United States government toward Cuba. And in that way, we are striving to get the United States to adopt measures which would be more friendly toward the Cuban people and the new Cuban regime in that country. We are not at all communist controlled, regardless of the fact that I have the experience of living in Russia, regardless of the fact that we have been investigated, regardless of any of those facts. The Fair Play for Cuba Committee is an independent organization, not affiliated with any other organization. Our aims and our ideals are very clear and in the best keeping with American traditions of democracy.
Do you agree with Fidel Castro when he, in his last speech of July 26 of this year, he qualified President John Fitzgerald Kennedy of the United States as a ruffian and a thief? Do you agree with Mr. Castro?
I would not agree with that particular wording. However, I and the Fair Play for Cuba Committee does think that the United States government, through certain agencies, namely the State Department and the CIA, has made monumental mistakes in its relations with Cuba, mistakes which are pushing Cuba into the sphere of activity of, let's say, a very dogmatic communist country as China is.
Mr. Oswald, would you agree that when Castro first took power, would you agree that the United States was very friendly with Castro, that the people of this country had nothing but admiration for him, that they were very glad to see Batista thrown out?
I would say that the activities of the United States government in regard to Batista were a manifestation of not so much support for Fidel Castro, but rather a withdrawal of support from Batista. In other words, we stopped armaments to Batista. What we should have done was to take those armaments and drop them into the Sierra Maestra, where Fidel Castro could have used them. As for public sentiment at that time, I think even at that time, even before the revolution, there were rumblings of official comment and so forth from government officials against Fidel Castro.
You've never been to Cuba, of course, but why are the people in Cuba starving today?
Well, in any country, emerging from a semi-colonial state and embarking upon reforms which require a diversification of agriculture, you're going to have shortages. After all, 80% of imports into the United States from Cuba were two products, tobacco and sugar. Nowadays, while Cuba is reducing its product as far as sugarcane goes, it is striving to grow unlimited and unheard of for Cuba quantities of certain vegetables, sweet potatoes, lima beans, cotton, and so forth, so that they can become agriculturally independent.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Our time is almost up. We've had three guests tonight on Conversation Carte Blanche. Bill Stuckey and I have been talking with Lee Harvey Oswald, Secretary of the New Orleans Chapter of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, Ed Butler, Executive Director of the Information Council of the Americas, and Carlos Bringier, a Cuban refugee. Thank you very much, and good evening.